Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out in radio land there.
Amen. We want to praise and thank God for all those listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayers and your financial help that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. We can't thank you enough, especially in these difficult times. So please continue to do what you can, especially the prayers, and we'll continue to do what we can to bring you great radio programming. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I have just a couple of announcements before we get going here. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until approximately 6 p.m. We close a little bit earlier on Tuesdays to get ready for our Calyx meeting. And all are welcome to come down, make a pilgrimage. If you get in touch with Father or I before you come, we can make arrangements to meet you over in church and show you around, maybe talk a bit about Matt Talbot. So again, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays, St. Gabriel Church, 29th and Dickinson in South Philadelphia. Golf outing's coming up on Monday, October the 10th. We'll be back at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Again, that's Monday, October the 10th. The brochure for the outing, it can be found on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download it. If you're on our mailing list, you should have gotten one in the mail already. If you need one mailed to you, give us a call here, and Maureen can put one in the mail to you. It's always a great day. We have lunch and dinner with golf in between. Always a large number of priests that are able to get out of the rectories and come out and join us. So if you've never golfed with us before, please consider doing it this year. If you just want to come for dinner, you can do that as well. There'll be a silent auction, and Kathleen always has a few words for us following the golf, as well as giving out the awards. So, again, join us October the 10th. Last but not least, this coming weekend, August 19th to the 21st, myself and at least 110 other people will be out at Malvern for a men's retreat. It's just a regular men's retreat, nothing to do with addiction per se, and all men are more than welcome. If you aren't doing anything this weekend and want to join us, maybe give us a call here at In His Sign and leave a message with Maureen, and I can call you when we get off the air at 6 o'clock. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, and we'll give them out a couple of times during the shows. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. John of God and St. Camillus de Lellis.
Pray for us.
St. Stephen.
Pray for us.
St. Bernard.
Pray for us.
St. John Hughes.
Pray for us.
And our patron saints and guardian angels and all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we approach the bottom of the hour for our Is That Odd or Is That God? And would... love to hear from you. We'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. The Saints for the 20th week in Ordinary Time. Sunday was one of my guys, but got bumped out because it was Sunday, St. Maximilian Kolbe. On Monday the 15th was the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Tuesday the 16th, St. Stephen of Hungary. Then coming up on Friday, St. John Eudes. And on Saturday the 20th, St. Bernard, or Bernard, Abbot and Doctor. I don't want to confuse them with the dogs. St. Bernard. So, let's kick it off with St. Stephen of Hungary, whose feast we celebrated.
August is the month of saints, guys.
Amen.
So many great saints.
Yeah. And we celebrated one yesterday. St. Stephen of Hungary was born the year 975, and he would die on August the 15th in the year 1038. Born a pagan, he and his father. And he was baptized around the age of 10 together with his father, who happened to be a chief of a Hungary, would later become Hungary, but the Magyars. And they had migrated into this area, the Hungary area, in the 9th century. At the age of 20, he married Gisela, who was a sister to the future emperor, St. Henry, who we talked about a few weeks back. When he succeeded his father, Stephen adopted a policy of Christianization of the country for both political and religious reasons. And he would put down some pagan revolts and really brought the Magyars together into a strong national group. And it was then that he asked the Pope to provide for the church's organization in Hungary and requested that the Pope come and make him king or confer the title of king upon him. And he was crowned on Christmas Day in the year 1001. Stephen established a system of tithes to support the churches, and out of every 10 towns, they had to build a church and support a priest. He also abolished a bunch of the pagan customs, some with violence, and commanded everybody to marry except clergy and religious. I guess he wanted to bring up as many Christians as he could as quickly as he could. He was accessible to all, especially the poor. In 1031, his son Emmerich died, and the rest of Stephen's days, he was in a controversy over who was going to be his successor, Emmerich being his only son. So he had nephews that tried to kill him, and eventually he would die in 1038 and canonized along with his son Emmerich in the year 1083. St. Stephen of Hungary, whose feast we celebrated on Tuesday, yesterday.
Yeah, and both were buried in the church that he built to honor Mary as the Mother of God. And the kings after him also were buried there in the church. But really, he brought peace into the kingdom there. And I was just thinking about, before he went to war with any factions, he always went to prayer. And he would pray, pray, fast, and give alms. And, he was a person that really lived the gospel, the whole gospel, nothing but the gospel. And the Lord revealed himself to him. He had an intimacy with Jesus so closely that he could see the Lord present in so many people, especially the poor and the suffering. But as we can, or just maybe 2 months, we started the revival for the Eucharistic revival in our nation. But how beautiful that is. But here's a saint that already, wants to build churches, bring in the priests, bring in the altar, bring in the Eucharist, the power source. and how well he knew that, and attending Mass, you know, receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. And there he had that power that was in his own, that strength, that peace and joy, and how he really loved his son, Emmerich. That was his heart. And he would actually instruct his son, believing that his son would be his successor because that was the only son he had. But he would write, like, "My dearest son, if you wish to honor the royal crown, I urge you above all things to maintain the Catholic and apostolic faith with such diligence and care that you may be an example for all those placed under you by God." And then he goes on, giving his counsel and guidance. And he says this to Emmerich: "Show favor not only to relations and kin or to the most eminent, but also to foreigners and to all who come to you. Be merciful to all who are suffering violence. Be patient with everyone. Be strong. Be humble. Be truly moderate. Be gentle so that you may never oppose justice. Be honorable so that you may never voluntarily bring disgrace upon anyone. Be chaste." All these virtues, he says, make up the royal crown. And without them, no one is fit to reign on this earth or to attain the heavenly kingdom. He said, boy, if we can only have civil leaders like Henry II and also like Stephen. And holy people kind of associate with holy people. Henry was a saint. Emmerich was blessed. Stephen there, they just connected so well because they had so much in common. But Stephen, throughout his whole life, he had Christ on his lips. Christ was in his heart. Christ was in all that he did. And he reminded me, Ken, of St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ next to me, on my right, on my left, in the ear who hears me, in the eye who sees me. That he just would see Jesus. He'd be inflamed with the presence of Jesus. That he wasn't the one reigning the kingdom of Hungary. It was Jesus who was doing it through him. But the poor, he just loved the poor so much. He said that the poor, you know, they said about him, the poor had greater access to him than the rich, and that Christ recommended to us the poor in his place. And I was at my homily last night. I was giving the homily about how he went out into his kingdom and would disguise himself as a poor person, and he would bring money with him and distribute it to them. But he also wanted to find out how the people lived and how he can make and write better just laws. So this one time he was disguised as a beggar, and he was attacked and beaten up. They pulled his beard, ripped his clothes, and took the purse. And what did he do? He rejoiced. He rejoiced that he could suffer for Jesus because he knew that his reward would be great in heaven. And I didn't make this connection, Ken, until yesterday when I was preparing the homily for the evening mass, or Calyx Mass. But it was a story, and I always loved this story, but I never connected it with Stephen. But it has to be him. But the story went, the king's great gift, and it's about a king that would go into his towns and villages, and he would see how the people lived and how they suffered, and he would go back and he would write just laws for all the poor and the abandoned. But this one time he came across a public bath, and underneath the public bath was the fire tender who kept the temperature of the public bath at a certain degree so that the citizens could relax and be comfortable. But he went down to the cellar, the disguised king. And he got talking to this fire tender, and they kind of connected with one another. They would share their meager meal together, and he would just talk and really fell in love with this fire tender. And this fire tender really wanted to, be with his friend, this new friend that's in disguise that's really his king. And the king would go down day after day and week after week, and he wanted to tell his friend that I am your king. And he was a little fearful because he thought, well, if I tell my friend, my new friend, that I'm the king, he might ask for gold or silver or high positions and ruin our friendship. But he couldn't resist any longer, and he looked at the fire tender, and he said, I am your king. And the fire tender took a close look and saw that it is his king, And he said, wow, you know, on others you may give gold and silver, and you may give high positions in your kingdom. But to me, you gave me the greatest gift of all. You gave me the gift of yourself. That was a powerful story. I told that story so many times in my priesthood, not realizing that this perhaps is related to St. Stephen himself. And it's related also to the King of Kings. And that was how I ended the homily, pointing at the tabernacle. Now here we have the King of Kings, who comes from his throne, disguises himself in our own hearts for one another, disguises himself in spiritual reading, in the rosary, disguises himself in the Eucharistic presence behind bread and wine to come to us and to be with us and to share the meal with us, his sacrificial meal with us. And how beautiful that is. And he just comes down there, and it's like, wow, you know, what a king. What a king that he gave us so much, but he gives us the gift of his total self, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. What a gift, Ken. What a gift. What a king. What a king. Jesus Christ, our true God, our true King, the King of Kings.
Amen. And,
did you hear the doorbell ring?
I did. I knew the birds hadn't gotten into your room.
Your little bird.
But even as Christ gave himself to us, and your reference here to St. Stephen and his giving himself to his people, you know, and that's really the biggest thing that each of us as individuals has is a gift of self. We don't always have, you know, riches and wealth and those types of things to give, but we always have, you know, ourselves. We can give of our time. We can give of what, you know, whatever treasure we do have. But to be able to give ourselves, whether it's for, you know, religious causes, giving ourselves to spouses in marriage, giving to ourselves to our kids, our communities, you know, our parishes, whatever it is that we do, you know, it's in those selfless acts, I think, that we really build up the kingdom, that we show God's love, or people can experience God's love through other people. It's sometimes tough for people to fathom how much God loves them and understand that they're loved by this benevolent God. But if they experience it at a human level, it makes it easier for them to experience it with God, especially if people had rough upbringing. So many of the addicts that we deal with that, you know, may not have had, you know, great upbringings and may not have seen a whole lot of love around them. And then, you know, all of a sudden we tell them that, you know, the way you're going to get well is through a relationship with God, you know, and this God really loves you. Well, if you've never experienced love or kindness or had people do things for you just because it was the right thing to do, it can be tough to believe that there's a God out there that really does love them. And so when we give of ourselves, you know, our time, our talent, and our treasure to one another, I think it while people may appreciate it, you know, at face value, I think there's often a deeper sense of awareness that, you know, somebody actually cares for me. Somebody actually loves me. And sometimes it's even the smallest gestures are the ones that may have the biggest impact on people. Things that we think are no big deal are the things that people talk about us later. Most of the time I don't think we know about it, but, you know, sometimes it does come back around, and then we, you know, word will get back to us that somebody said something nice, or even the person directly will say something to the effect of, you know, remember such and such you said to me, you know, back then, and I a lot of times have no recollection of it. I'm sure we had the conversation because I would see them, whether it was at church or 12-step meetings, wherever it was. And to me, what seemed like a normal conversation and really not a big deal turned out to be a huge deal for them, and had a great impact, a greater impact than I ever thought it would. So, you know, I think all of us have that opportunity to put ourselves out there, and, you know, by showing kindness and love to others, you know, maybe give them an opportunity to you know, trust in God's love and believe that they're worthy of God's love.
Yeah. Just thinking that all those virtues to go out and be peace to others, give peace, give joy, give compassion, give mercy, everything that the Lord gives to us, because we don't manufacture any of the virtues, but they come through us, and they become so real in us when we really open our hearts, especially in deep prayer. You know, we're infused with these virtues and the very life of Christ. And I envy the saints in a good way. You know, how was it that they became so intimate with our Lord? How was it that Jesus would just radiate in them and shine through them? Well, they did exactly what the Lord was asking them to do. You know, and John 14, I'm always drawn to John 14, that whoever holds to my word, who's ever living my gospel, whoever's keeping my commandments, who's doing my word, the Father and I will come to, and I will reveal myself. And boy, does he reveal himself. There's a fire within that I come to set a fire on the earth. I wish it were blazing. That fire we see in the lives of the saints. So you look at Stephen, you know, what did he do? He had problems. He had all kinds of faults, but it was through daily penance and prayers and almsgiving that he would conquer all that. And then he would get the revelation of our Lord. You know, in that gospel, it's like, pick up your cross, deny. We must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus, that he's taken us somewhere. We deny ourselves of worldliness, but not for nothing, but for everything that he wants to give us. There's so much more than what we see and taste and smell and touch and hear. And they're the gifts of the heart. You know, that's the real joy and the peace, the glory. We bankrupt the dictionary and stretch the human language in trying to explain these wonderful divine gifts that become through us, like through the lives of the saints, that they're walking tabernacles, they're walking Jesus's. It's like Jesus living again. It's a new light from heaven. So it's like, gosh, if we, like Matt Talbot, Venerable Matt Talbot, if I can do it, you can do it. There's a mystic, inner city mystic, had all kinds of problems around him, profanity, vulgarities, and yet this man becomes a mystic. You know, a mystic, always, I thought it was on top of a mountaintop somewhere, or on the beach, or in a mansion, or a monastery. He's in the inner city, just like someone in Grace Ferry. And all the graces are here because Christ is here with us. He's right in the midst of everything. And we have so many means of the church today, even that Stephen had. Today we have special devotions like the Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Novena, Miraculous Medal Novena, all these wonderful, beautiful sacramentals we have, the Green Scapular, the Miraculous Medal, the Rosary, all these weapons, you know. We got the same sacraments that they had, same Blessed Mother, same St. Joseph. We got more saints than they had, than Stephen had, to be motivated and to be inspired. We have it all. So if we don't become saints, and it's a commandment, be holy as your Father is holy, and be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And we can do it because our Lord calls us to it, and he gives us all the means and the graces to be transformed into a saint. So I consider myself as an apprentice saint, you know. I fall down, I keep getting up. I fall down, I keep getting up. But yeah, my heart, you know, I know what I'm created for. I'm created to be a saint. So you, Ken, and everyone that's listening. And if we don't become saints, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So we're called to these grandeurs. If we just trust God, we'll get a taste of this glory. You know, I always like John of the Cross again. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs and created for them, what are you doing out there? How are you spending your time? You know, look at Stephen. Look at the saints. How did they spend their time? Gospel living. Gospel living. They lived the life of Christ wholeheartedly, no corner cutting, no shortcuts. They embraced and married the Word of God, and they were divinized, became like God himself. Ken,
amen. And that's the goal for all of us, to be divinized one day in heaven. And you know, why not start now? We have friends that, you know, shoot for purgatory, and I often ask them, well, you know, what happens if you miss? You know, aim for heaven. You know, we can aim for heaven now. Why put off? You know, to your point, we're each individuals, and while we may try to mimic or imitate some of the things that the saints have done as individuals, God wants our relationship with Him. He wants our prayer, our time, our words, and the prayers of the saints, and obviously prayers like the Rosary and the Mass and Divine Mercy Chaplet and all those things. You know, they're great, but do we take the time and talk to God, and more importantly, do we take the time to listen to what God may have to say? And we may not hear those voices. He may be doing things that we're not aware of in our souls that get revealed at some point later, whether it's through someone else or a thought that comes to us. But we had, as you say, we have all the means. If we don't become saints, we don't have any excuses, especially in this day and age with all the resources that we have available to us. But I think what it takes is time, and wherever we devote our time is who our God is. I go back to the priest from Erie, Father Richard, I can't think of his last name right now. But he had a tape on confession, and he would talk about his high school students, and he would ask them, what they did when they got up in the morning, and they would have breakfast. Well, he would say, well, if you had breakfast before you prayed, then, food's more important than God. And if you turned on the TV before you prayed, then TV is more important than God. And if you turned on the radio before you prayed, then the radio is more important than God. So what is it that we put before God? And, some days I do a heck of a lot better than others. And every once in a while, there'll be a slip there, especially if I decide to stay in bed too long and have to get up and race around, and next thing I know a couple hours have gone by before I've spent any serious time with God. I always pray as soon as my eyes are open and I have a conscious moment, but it's that deep prayer. And how often do we do that? So you got just a couple minutes before we go to the break. I want to give out the phone numbers again. If you've had is that God moment in the past couple of weeks that you'd like to share with us, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or perhaps you're listening to us over our website at inhissign.com. You can reach us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-34-FAITH. So, final word on St.
Yeah.
Stephen?
Well, some words that what you're saying, Ked, like to pray right away when we wake up in the morning. Here in kids' confessions, I would always say, do you pray in the morning when you wake up? Well, no, I'm tired. I said, well, who do you think wakes you up? A lot of kids would say, well, my mother calls me. I said, yeah, but that's not who wakes you up. God wakes you up. So right away, you just say, good morning, God. I love you. And that's, beginning the day with prayer. But you're right. We need to begin everything with God, end everything with God, and do everything in between with God. And something else you said, Ken, about becoming saints, start now. Start now. Now's the time for salvation. And a lot of times people say, well, my next confession, I'm really going to get serious. Or this Lent, I'm really going to get serious about my spiritual life or Advent or whatever. But, this next retreat, I'm really going to change my life. I don't know if I have a tomorrow. I know I have now, right now. And now's the time for salvation, to begin my life in Christ, to continue my life in Christ, and to end my life in Christ. How do we do that? Just what the Father says. Listen to my Son. Listen to Him. What our Blessed Mother says. Just do what He tells you. God doesn't want another St. Stephen. He wants a St. Douglas, a St. Ken, a St. Patrick. And that's what we're all called to be. We are so unique. We have so much in common with saints, but we are so unique individuals. He threw the mold away when He created each and every one of us, and He loves us so much. And all we have to do is take His word to heart, marry that word, and do what He tells us. Live that gospel, whole gospel, nothing but the gospel. We will grow in sanctity. We will know his presence. We will experience this great inner peace and joy and love, which is God himself, Ken.
Very good. And that brings us to the bottom of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back, we'll take your calls for Is That Odd or Is That God? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906. Or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. And before we go to the call, just a quick reminder about the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and Christians in 12-step programs, where we get together and really concentrate on the 11th step and in which we grow in our faith and in our relationship to God. Father and I, our engineer Patrick, and a number of others, we get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We get started at 6 o'clock, and we'll have adoration and then Mass at 6:15, followed by our Calyx meeting. And that's on all but the third Tuesday. Last night was the third Tuesday of the month, where we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we were there for 2 hours from 6 to 8, a little bit before 8, where we have a holy hour during which we pray some intercessory prayers to Matt Talbot, confessions are heard, and then we have Mass. So this, on other than the third Tuesday, we're at the Matt Talbot Chapel, the corner of 29th and Dickinson, the former Shea Funeral Home. You'll see a big sign of, or a big picture of the Divine Mercy Jesus on the front of the chapel there. All are more than welcome to come and join us. On the third Saturday of the month, except for this month, we get together at St. Luke's in Glenside. Normally, on the third Saturday, we get together for 8:30 Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. But most of the group's going to be on retreat this weekend, so we're postponing until September. I'll give you a reminder then, but that's the third Saturday of each month, 8:30 Mass, followed by a meeting. On the last Saturday of the month at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, Delaware County, They have a Calyx unit there. They go to the 4 o'clock vigil mass, and then there's a Calyx meeting immediately after. They've been getting nice crowds there, so if you can make that, they're also more than welcome. And last but not least, on the first and third Thursdays of the month at Queen of the Universe in Levittown, they have a Calyx group there that meets at 7 o'clock in the parish building. So plenty of opportunities for Calyx. And Father, the Nativity Blessed Virgin Mary and Media, are they going to start in September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have to talk to Father Bell to work out the details. But
okay.
Yeah, we're going to do the same thing that we do there at St. Francis in Springfield. It would be right after, I believe their Mass is at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So right after the 5 o'clock Mass, we would have our meeting. So I'm kind of excited about that. I'll be part of that, and Harry, and set up our, our president, vice president, secretary, and get things going. To continue what Cindy Pyle had started there, really.
Right.
But yeah, Ken, it was like once a month. I don't feel is enough. So we'll have those two units nearby one another. I'm sure we'll draw the same people back and forth. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Very good. You just got to tell them to make sure that they use electronic donations for the baskets. The pastors aren't going to like them not showing up one Saturday a month at one or the other.
Oh.
No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah. No, you may be right.
It's all about that basket, you know. Anyhow. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Frank on the line. Hello, Frank.
Hello?
Frank, you there? Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you, Frank. Go ahead.
Oh, how you doing?
You're on the air.
Hi, Father Doug. Hi, Ken. I just want to welcome the new FOP, the Fraternal Order Police Chaplain, Father McNew. His last name is spelled M-E-C-N-E-W. He started yesterday. He's all the cops out there do a little appreciation, just say hi to him. He has 26 years as chaplain in the United States Navy. He's a great guy. I talked to him yesterday. Father Doug and Ken, things for me are great, but also terrible. Medically speaking, things have gotten worse. It's frustrating. But the good news is, I'm not thinking about drinking, simple as that. I always miss your show all the time. I remember this time before it was too late. I love listening to you guys every Wednesday. I'm thankful, God, Captain Lou, and just a lot of different things while I'm staying sober. But I appreciate it. And I like hearing you guys all the time. And I just want to touch base and welcome the new FOP shop and Father McNew. And thanks for giving me the time today.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you, Frank. And, so many calls we got when you weren't as upbeat. And to hear you call in now, and there's just a complete change in your voice. And I'm sorry that, the physical ailments continue, but the attitude that you have is just awesome. And to hear the joy in your voice despite the ailments that you suffer with is, I think it's good for people to hear, especially those that may recognize your voice, haven't called in before, that no matter what God throws at us, hopefully we recognize that a lot of times he gives us the grace to deal with it. And puts people in your life. I mean, you got a great guy in your life in Captain Lou, that's for certain, right, Father?
Oh, gosh. He's a great gift in a lot of people's lives.
Don't forget
the police.
Pat you guys in the back, too, because both you guys were there for me a couple years ago when I was struggling every day. You guys kept me alive. Literally in my mind, too. I mean, you guys were there all the time. I was never forget that.
Nah, I appreciate it, Frank. I'm glad to be able to play a small role sometimes in helping folks. And we were saying earlier, sometimes we hear about it and a lot of times we don't. So I appreciate the sentiments, that's for sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Brother Doug. Have a good one.
All right, you
hey,
too,
Frank.
Brother.
Frank, bye-bye. Yeah, I wanted to say, too, that what a blessing you are. I mean, I remember you and the struggles you had, and I was lost for words sometimes, all the suffering and all I could say to you, you're a victim soul. You're attached to Jesus on the cross. And I really believe that spiritual growth of yours, even though the problems got worse, his strength and his presence is stronger in your life than ever before. And I thank Captain Lou because he was the one that connected us together. So, Frank, thank you, and you're an inspiration. Keep up your good work. You're in our prayers, and keep us in yours. God bless you, Frank.
All right. I think he heard it off the air, Father. He dropped off, but I'm sure he heard it.
Okay.
All right, pal. That's it as far as phone calls. Still have time to call in. Now we got about another 18 minutes. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or give us a call toll-free, 888-343-2484, 888-343-2484. I had a kind of odder God myself yesterday, and I'm not sure if I shared it on the radio or not. I know I've shared it with a few people, Calix and what have you. But I stopped getting off the South Street exit of the Schuylkill and get off at the Gray's Ferry exit. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer because traffic backs up over there. But there's no panhandlers when you get off South Street. So there's usually one there when you get off at Gray's Ferry. And it, probably going back 3 weeks or maybe even a month, there was a guy out there, Anthony. And I think I've shared before, always before anybody gets anything from me, they got to tell me what their name is. And that way, the next time I see him, I can call him by name. And it's funny that the first time you call him by name, they kind of look at you like, "How do you know my name?" And then they may recognize you, especially if it wasn't that far past. And so anyway, I was out of town last week, so didn't get down there at all. But the week before, I had gotten off at Gray's Ferry, and I gave Anthony a dollar and a miraculous medal. And not knowing what he would do with the medal. And so yesterday I get off Gray's Ferry Avenue. Actually, Monday when I got off, there was a different guy there, David. And I guess whoever gets there first in the morning gets that post. But yesterday Anthony was out there. And as he's walking towards me, I could see the blue string from the miraculous medal around his neck. And I wasn't going to say anything to him about it, but as he approached, "Hey, Anthony, how you doing?" And I said, "I don't think I ever told you my name. My name's Ken. Do me a favor and say a prayer for me today." And he said, "Oh, I will. And then he pulled out the miraculous medal, and he says, I'm wearing it.
Wow.
And, what happens a lot of times is that light turns, and it's only got to be green for 3 seconds before somebody's laying on the horn. So you don't get a whole lot of time to interact. But as I started to pull away, I saw Anthony, he had walked past me, he was turning around to come back to me. And I have a feeling one of these days, I might be able to get him in the truck and get him over there for a little bit. But, odd or God that, he was there again and wearing a miraculous medal. So,
that's great.
Yeah, you never know.
And even like Dussel here, I don't know how many medals I gave him, but I always feel good to see the medal around his neck, even though he's out there, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. That they're under Mary's mantle, like we all are, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great story.
Yeah, how about you? You got any otter God?
Yeah, I'll share this. You know how I always say my disappointments are divine appointments? So a couple of the friends were coming down, benefactors, and I had to be back by 12, and I wanted to do my walk and do my shopping at the Acme because it's Senior Citizen Day, you get a discount. So I'm kind of rushing, and I get in the car, and I go around the corner, and there's no cars along the sidewalk, and there's nothing but trash there. Now, it was a windy day, and I'm saying, I got to clean this up. Forget the walk. I'll do my shopping today. Anyway, I get out, and all these, honor God. It's like, first of all, I meet Kathy. We have a great spiritual talk, and Kathy and Carol, they've been under the weather, so they haven't been able to really do so much cleaning. And I have a good talk with her, and then I go out, and I find a quarter and two pennies. I didn't find any dimes, but I found a quarter and two pennies. I said, "Wow. Here it is already. I got 27 cents already by cleaning up. Thank you, God." And I start cleaning up, and then there was another couple, two ladies that came up to me, and one lady, she gave me like $20 and said, can you offer a mass? I said, yeah, sure, I'll be happy to, you know. And then this other guy comes up. He's a black African-American. He pulls over, and we're talking, and I give him a blessing, and he opened up his wallet. He gives me like $40. He says, get lunch for me. I said, lunch? That'll pay for supper a couple of times. And anyway, it was like, here's the street ministry, you know. It's like I was going to do my walk and do my shopping, but God had another, you know, agenda for me to meet these people. So I collected $60.27. You know what, Ken? I'm going to do this every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'll get out there and cleaning the streets. But it's just how you see God in everything. You know, I want to get somewhere, and the Lord said, no, I want you here to meet some people that I want to line up for you. And not only that, people that ride by in the car, Ken, they see you, and they see me with a broom. And I'm not trying to look like, hey, look at me, I'm cleaning and all. But God does something with that. It's an inspiration for people to go and maybe clean up the litter around their houses or their neighbors' houses or whatever. But I know how God works. You know, he works so powerfully in that. It's just like just to follow the Spirit, follow God's agenda. And when we get disappointed, just know that there, in our disappointments are divine appointments that he's setting the path and leading the way.
Amen. All right, we got about 13 minutes left now, so we'll go to St. John Eudes.
Yep.
All right. St. John Eudes was born on November the 14th in the year 1601 and would live till August the 19th, 1680, so not quite 79 years old when he passed. He was born on a farm in northern France, and he was a religious, a parish missionary. He founded two religious communities and was a great promoter of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He first joined the religious community of the Oratorians and ordained a priest when he was 24. He did where he worked with those stricken with plagues in 1627 and 1631. And so in order not to bring the plague back to the rectory, he actually lived in a cask in the middle of a field. At the age of 32, he became a parish missionary and preached over 100 parish missions, some lasting several weeks or several months. And he had concern for the clergy. He really wanted to work to build up seminaries. He had gotten permission from his general superior, the bishop, and even the cardinal, but the succeeding general superior disapproved. So John thought it was best to leave the religious community. So he would go out and found a new one called the Eudists, E-U-D-I-S-T-S, the Congregation of Jesus and Mary, which was devoted to the formation of the clergy by conducting diocesan seminaries. It was approved by bishops, and like any good thing that we do in the church, was met with immediate opposition, especially from the Jansenists and some of his former Oratorians. But he did found several seminaries in Normandy, but was never able to get approval from Rome because apparently he wasn't very tactful. Anyhow, in his parish mission work, John was disturbed by the sad condition of the prostitutes of all people, and he would find some temporary shelters. And then there was a woman who, you know, said to him and really convicted him. He said, I guess he was leaving and thought he was going off to church to do his pious stuff. And so, you know, what we really need is a decent house for these poor creatures. And out of that will become the Sisters of Charity of the Refuge. So John Eudes is probably best known for the central theme of his writings, which was Jesus as the source of holiness and Mary as the model of the Christian life. His devotion to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart led Pope Pius XI to declare him the father of the liturgical cult of the hearts of Jesus and Mary. St. John Eudes, who's feast day we'll celebrate on Friday the 19th.
Yeah, and he was like 3 years before Margaret Mary's devotion to the Sacred Heart, the first one to write a book on the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the liturgical cult, you know, the prayers and liturgy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But that was a good story, that his Congregation of Jesus and Mary, part of his ministry was led him to the concern for street people. Mm. And that's what we do, as you mentioned, that women that were held in bondage in the life of prostitution. But that woman, Madeline Lammy, you know, she was the one who said, where are you going now? You, you pious priest, you know, we need you, not in church, we need you like on the streets and come and help these poor creatures. And that moved him, and the Sisters of the Good Shepherd, you know, continue that work. But he was so beautiful with the sacraments, the Eucharist, confession. He said this about the confessional. He said that in the confessional, he said the preacher beats the bushes, but the confessor catches the birds. So the preacher in the pulpit, he beats the bushes to get people to go to confession, but it's the confessor who catches the birds. And but one of the things too with the Little Sisters of the Poor, Saint Jean Jagan was a member of his third order. It was called Admirable Mother, and the Society of the Heart of the Mother, the Most Admirable, and that's how she began. Really, got deep in her spiritual life is through that third order of his third order. John uses third order, the Apostle of the Sacred Heart, and he promoted the devotion for 3 years before apparitions of Margaret Mary, but so much that he loved the heart of Jesus and Mary. But one of the things that I really take home about him, Ken, is the Mass. You know, he was so centered on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. His most famous saying of his is concerning the Mass. He says, first, prepare for it, second, celebrate it, and third, give thanks for it. And in other words, preparation, celebration, and thanksgiving. Prepare, you know, like tomorrow we'll be at St. Richard's and we'll prepare with the Holy Rosary, and we have the celebration. But we've been losing that thanksgiving. People just go off, you know, right afterwards or on their way out. We just like to take a few moments before the statue of the Blessed Mother and just give that thanksgiving. I you know, sometimes I like to hear extend the communion meditation. You know, just to be with the Lord who we just received, and give thanksgiving there. Because in parishes, it's like, you know, you got a funeral coming up right afterwards, and sometimes you feel rushed, and we shouldn't really feel rushed. Everything, what St. Francis of Assisi said, when the Lord's on the altar, there should be the whole world should be a hush. So a great saint, you know, but the sacraments is what he really promoted, Ken, way back when in those 1600s. The confession and the Holy Eucharist, and the two hearts of Jesus and Mary.
Yeah, and going back to when we're talking about St. Stephen of Hungary and the gift of self, and, you know, he gives the gift of self early on during those plagues, and, you know, puts himself out there again with all those parish missions, and, you know, just an example of, you know, answering God's call to respond to the needs of the people. And even over the course of his own life, it would change. And so what we may do in our 20s and 30s may not be what we do in our 40s and 50s, and certainly not when we get a little bit older. And I just have to, you know, sit back and chuckle sometimes at some of the things I do these days, because it was never in my plans. It was in God's plan all along, but it certainly wasn't in my plans. And when we, you know, cooperate a little bit and try to discern what it is that God wants us to do for him, it could be anything, and there's nothing to be afraid of, because whatever he wants us to do, he's going to give us the grace to do it first. And so when we open ourselves up and allow God to work through us and in us, that you know, the sky, excuse me, really is the limit. And I say it all the time, if he does it for me, he'll do it for anybody. You know, as low as I had gotten, God could have easily written me off, although he probably couldn't, because of, you know, he loves all of us so much. But if he didn't write me off, he's not going to write anybody else off, that's for certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, another interesting story was his parents, Isaac and Martha, they were unable to have children, so they made a pilgrimage to a Marian shrine. And then 9 months later, John was born, and then 5 children after him. So there's that power, again, of our Blessed Mother's intercession. And boy, how he loved Mary's Immaculate Heart and the heart of Jesus. He just cushioned himself between those two hearts, Ken.
Amen. We got about 5 minutes left. Father, I don't know if you got More on John Yudes, or
just tomorrow is the opening prayer. Always, you know, some of the stuff we said about Saint Stephen. But Father, you chose the priest John Yudes to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. You know, here's that word again: unfathomable, infinite. You know, how do you define the riches of Christ? And this is what he's proclaiming. All the saints are proclaiming these beautiful treasures of Jesus Christ, this hidden treasure within our heart. You know, God is so close to us in his love. We wouldn't exist. We'd be annihilated. It's the Holy Spirit that animates our souls, and it's our souls that animates our bodies and how we need our bodies to communicate. But God's behind it all. We can't do anything without him. Nothing. He's divine, and we're the branches. And apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And once we realize that, we'll get very humble. We'll lose that proud-heartedness, you know, and realize that, wow, what blessings that we receive day in and day out, from the morning we wake up until we go to sleep. It's all God behind everything that is good, Ken.
Amen. Amen. And
do we have time to go to Bernard?
I only got 2 minutes. I don't know that we can do him justice, but let's see.
So much to him.
Yeah, let's hold him over. I was just going to say that as you were talking, the line came to me. You use all the time, and I think it's from John of the Cross. So, you know, souls built for these grandeurs, you know, what are you doing? How are you spending your time? And think about, you know, I even get convicted now sometimes because I spend time doing something that probably could have been better spent, whether in prayer or spiritual reading or something like that. And I think I've gotten pretty good. And I think about, you know, other people, and this is not to judge, just, you know, based on what you can see in the public domain, whether it's social media, you know, in conversations when people talk about what they're doing and what have you. And, you know, we, especially in these times, I mean, the spirit's stirring. It's time to get tapped in and wake up and get plugged in, because you know, things may just get worse here before they get better. And if we're not plugged in, there's going to be a whole lot of suffering going on. And I think now's the time more than ever. And Kathleen's been preaching it right with her Wake Up America dinners and on our shows here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, that, you know, we really need to wake up and smell the roses and see what's going on, and pray, and then pray some more, right?
Yeah. Saint Anthony, first of all, we must pray and then keep praying. Mm. Life is fragile, handled with prayer. But also, what hits me, just what we're saying, you know, about John Hughes, is the Eucharist, confession. You know, this revital, you know, of the Holy Eucharist, that this is what we really need. And, you know, this can't be understood, explained. It's not knowledge or intellect that's going to bring us to the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. It's contemplation. It's Jesus who has to infuse into us this experience of his real presence in his Eucharist. And the best preparation we make for the Holy Eucharist is really confession. Sacrament of reconciliation. You know, I look at the Eucharist, and the other sacraments are extended from his Eucharistic heart right to the confessional. This is the Paschal mystery, the Eucharist, but it's there when we come before the priest. We become before Jesus Christ. It's a personal encounter, and he washes our sins away with his precious blood. Yes, we can make acts of contrition, but you wash your face. But we take a bath when we go to confession. That's the best preparation we make. And then adoration, you know, just to sit and be still. Let the Lord come and touch our hearts in this real presence of his. He'll do it. But I need to be also living his gospel and doing what he says. And he will reveal himself through contemplation. It's like, that's the love. I can never understand God with my intellect, never. He's a deep, unfathomable mystery. But I get to know him in love, this love affair. I experience his love for me. And when I go to communion, it's just not Jesus Christ, me receiving Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ receiving me. It's a communion. It's a love affair. And I get to know this when I start living the gospel and turning away from sin and being faithful to the gospel and taking the hold of the kingdom that is at hand. And then I'm going to experience this pulsation heart of Jesus Christ hidden behind the veil of his Eucharistic presence, his love for us. As Bishop Sheen said, it's the greatest love story ever told, Ken.
Amen. Well, now we have time for just a very quick blessing. We reached the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, you know, also, I hope Midnight's listening, and I know his sister had passed away, Mary McGuire. Just want to pray for her and all the intentions of all the listeners here, just to bring them all into one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Father, we praise and thank you for all the blessings, and just ask that you continue to bless everyone that's listening in this whole world of yours through your priesthood, through Father Douglas. Bring that peace and joy that the world can't give us or take away, and that strength that's not our own. And bless us all with that intimacy of your Sacred Heart, Jesus, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and all the saints and angels. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back with our guest.